Well, good morning. We say it every week and we mean it. No one is here by mistake today. You're here by design. No matter why you think you're here, no matter what brought you here, no matter why you thought you were coming, that may be true, but it may be false. God has a reason for you being here today. It may have already taken place. Maybe God's already spoken to you, or perhaps He will. Perhaps it's through communion, the word, the singing together, the hug from somebody, or just being in God's family, being in God's house. Let me just reiterate a couple things. One, if you've never been baptized, we'd encourage you to be so. I know there's fear factor within that, but make sure you see Pastor Paul, myself, Pastor Mike, and say, I want to talk to you about baptism. It's just a great time. Also, where's Gloria? Gloria, are you in his service, or is she serving? Right there. Gloria, stand up for me. Normally, every time I see Gloria, I break into singing, but I don't do that. But I just want to honor her today, and you may think, why? I came in here yesterday, and she was out there. All those weeds that you see gone, at least. I mean, Jean and Denise, they all do such a great job. But she's out there by herself just pulling weeds yesterday, and just picking them out of the parking lot, picking all these weeds. And I just thought, man, that's a servant right there. She did it. She said, I want to do this. And there she was. And so I just appreciate that. Appreciate that, Gloria. And I won't even sing to you this morning. All right? Also, you see in the middle, right in the middle of our auditorium right here, life groups. You guys know that life groups are a passion. Of my heart. We started this church. We are not just a church with life groups. It's not just one of the extra. It is a church of life groups. The foundation of our church is life groups. I remembered even as we did communion with Matt and I, and we stood here. I remember when we called it Dixie Cup Communion. You remember those who started our church? Remember those? Dixie Cup Communion. We had, like, sometimes we had fish crackers and our grape juice was in a Dixie cup. We didn't have any of those little trays that you know, look all churchy now. You know, we ought to go back to Dixie Cup sometimes, I think. But we had Dixie cups and goldfish. Remember our communions with all kinds of stuff. We did all kinds of stuff. But I remember starting, and you look around and see how God's blessed. And it's because of all those things. It's because of what God has done. It's His grace that brings us together. But it starts as well with life groups. That's basically where we began. I want to encourage you to be in a life group. Already this morning, I told you some of you are going to get mad at me because I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask, and I'm going to tell. You know, and if I don't, Jack's going to come right up behind me and do it the same thing. So you might get mad at Jack first, then get me second. But we want you to be in life groups. It's just so important. Now, if you're the first to sign up, if you've never been in a life group and you signed up today to be in life group, you need to take one of those plants. If you're a guest and you take one of those plants, you can eat as well. It's just a way of, but those plants around the table here were done by our stars. They took them, they planted the little plants, all the stars, the kids. So those around the table right there are all planted from our stars. And just a way for them to serve as well. But sign up for a life group. In this session, on that table, you'll see the life group leaders. You'll see pictures of them. You'll see all the nights, the times. That's on the table as well. Some of you, if you've already attended a life group, if you're in a life group, you've got to re-sign. You've got to sign up so that you know. We are doing a study. Most of the groups, almost all of the groups, except two from Tracy, our Tracy campus, they're life groups. Two of them are going to be doing a study of parables and some different things, but all of our Lathrop campus life groups are going to be doing a group study called Connected. It's about being a part of the body of Christ. It's a great study. Encourage you to be there to really see the benefits of being in the body. So I encourage you to sign up to say, you know what, we're going to take a step of faith. We're going to do this, whether you've done it ever before or not, just do it. Now, I know most of the groups, at least our group, which I won't say Kent's group is the best group, because that would be wrong of me to say, though it's true. But next week, many of the groups are having potlucks. So if you sign up, they'll contact you. We're having our barbecue potluck and doing our thing on next Monday, the 16th. But all the groups will contact you once you sign up there. So encourage you just to really consider that and do that. We celebrate communion. And the time I have left, which is minimal, because the importance is communion. That's really what the day was. But the principle today, as we end in the issue of Proverbs, the principle today was the principle of a humble heart. A humble heart. Now, some people say, well, where did sin begin? And I think it's important to look at where sin began. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. It tells us in Isaiah, you said in your heart, Lucifer, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned upon the assembly of the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That is pride. That is, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, I will be the one that people will worship. You see it almost tied in, then in Genesis chapter 3, after creation, verses 2 to 5. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees, fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said, You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." I mean, who doesn't want to be like God? We want to be like God, right? None of you are going to say yes, but sometimes we live like we are our own God, do we not? The origination of sin came from that. The original sin was that of pride. I will do this. I will do that. I don't need to bow my knee to anybody. I don't need to bow my knee to God, as Lucifer said. And then as people said, "Well, I question what God really said. Do I need to do that?" We've looked at the last few weeks how sometimes it really stinks when the Bible is so clear about things. Statements, they're not really open for debate. And yet part of the issue is we say, "Well, I want to be like God," the original sin. Let me tell you the place of pride. And this morning I'm going to let the Word speak for itself as we run through this. So you can write these down, but this is the Word speaking for itself. I've taken just a few out of the book of Proverbs. Just about every chapter in Proverbs has something about humility and pride. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. The issue of the book of Proverbs that we looked at has been about wisdom, has it not? But how we get godly wisdom, how we practice godly wisdom. But you cannot be proud and arrogant and have wisdom. That's what it says. It's humility that brings us the wisdom of God. It's stepping back, Proverbs 13, where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Boy, some of us need to learn that, don't we? It's okay to take advice. In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, you know what? I'll listen to one or myself, and I will disdain the view of seven. I will stop the view of seven. I won't even listen to the other seven. I'll just do what I want to do. Proverbs 16, the Lord detests the proud of heart. It goes on. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19, proverb goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. Before a fall, better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Proverbs 22, 4, one slide back, please. Humility is in the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Now we can go back to Proverbs 29. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. The Word speaks for itself. We all know, we would all say that pride is not a good thing, would we not? We would all say that pride is something that we need to do away with our life, and yet within that, we practice the elements of pride. Now, the prescription that He gives us, the prescription that He tells us about pride, the very prescription, again, we'll let the Word speak for itself. Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, He talks about the prescription. "The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." We go on into the Philippians chapter 2, the very greatest probably verses that it comes. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. And He talks about the issue of what pride really is. Do we have Philippians 2? In your relationships, have one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You need to write this down in your Bible or tap it into your iPad, whatever you do, because this is the kenosis passage. It talks about really what humility is. As Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing. The emptying of Himself by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will come a time when every knee will bow, no matter how proud they are, and they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, but He came as a humble servant. We would not have planned that way, would we? Here's the King, God incarnate, coming as a child. We would not have had Him born in a cave. We would not have had Him born in a manger. We would not have had Him born as He was to the lowly people, the Jewish people who were enslaved to the Romans. We would not have done that way. We would have arranged it totally different. But He came, He emptied Himself, ultimately become obedient unto death. Death on a cross, a servant, having no place to lay His head, having no place He wanted. He really was a vagabond traveling from here to there. And the prescription that He gives us to face our pride is that of humility. Now, some people, we've misunderstood what humility is all about. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of humility. I don't know if you think of this weak and needy person Some people are self-deprecating. Oh, poor me. That is not humility. That is not humility. And the time we have just left here very briefly, you know the point that we need to do away with pride. But humility is tied with meekness. But meekness is not, again, that weakness. In fact, the definition of humility and weakness would be the fact of power under control. I willingly place that. I willingly place myself to the service of others. Mutual submission, as it starts even in your marriage relationship. Mutual submission from husband to wife, as both submit to God. We submit to God in our life, but we submit to others. We take the form of a servant. We take the form of what needs to happen in their life, not what happens in ours. But it is not this issue of, I want to practice humility, so I'm just not, oh. They had those who walked around in sackcloth and ashes, trying to look pious, trying to look humble. It's not about that. It's not saying, in fact, if we had time, I was going to take you to the dictionary.com, but the issue is they've missed what humility is. Sure, in one sense, it is where we see ourselves, but and we are of lowly place by design. But they've taken it now to where humility is something that's a weakness in character. And it's not that at all. C.S. Lewis writes, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Read that, folks. We think true humility is not thinking less of yourself. Because if you take that approach, you're not doing exactly what God says to do. God says, I give you value, not placed upon your pride or your arrogance. Your worth is based upon me. You need to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't love yourself correctly, how can you love your neighbor? And the way we love ourselves is to see what God has done in us. To see what God has done through us, that you are in Christ, you're forgiven, you're given a new nature. The old is gone, the new has come. I am loved unconditionally, therefore I can love unconditionally. I am forgiven, therefore I can forgive. It is not thinking less of yourself like, oh, poor me, I can do nothing, I am nothing. It is thinking of yourself less, and that's what it comes to today, to the issue of pride. It's thinking less of yourself. Unfortunately, we have come to the point where self-promotion is known for our culture, and self-consumption is known in our culture. It's all about that. Promote self, promote self, promote self. I got to promote self, step on somebody. I got to get that job. I got to get that raise. I'm going to promote myself. We take that arrogance into job situations. We take that arrogance into situations with people. Boy, I'm going to be arrogant. And yet Jesus' own prescription was to say, you know what? You decide to take the form of a servant. And be a servant to others, no matter of your position. I tell some of the men in our church, as they come and we talk about different job situations and the possibilities, you know, like I need to sell myself better. I have a hard time with that. I know you need to tell of your skills, but there's a fine line between selling yourself better and actually coming to the point of being humble about what God has allowed you to know and to do. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it is thinking of yourself less. And if you're thinking of yourself less, you can promote that, what you can do, but still place yourself in the position. The issue here is to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. 4 pages of notes just went right down the tubes because we don't have time. But listen to me. It's very simple to understand. I need a couple people here that I'm going to pick on, and I'm just going to pick on them, and they're going to get mad. Arthur, come here. Ramon, come here. Ramon, you're being picked because you have a goatee. I'm not choosing a lady design because they may not like this. All right, you know what this is? It says Hubba Bubba. I've never used this. There's this whole line. Here, we'll give you. I don't know if that's a... Is that a lot or a little, folks? Good. Good, good. Start chewing it, Ramon. Oh, lucky you, huh? Okay, start chewing. What do you do with bubblegum? You what? You chew it, but what is the goal of bubblegum? I mean, really? Blow a bubble. Blow a bubble, so chew that up. Get in there, Arthur. Come on, man. You travel around the world and you cannot listen to my instructions to chew your bubblegum. You like that? No. Is that a lot of bubblegum? Is there a lot of bubblegum in there? Chew it. All right. All right, then chew it and blow a bubble. I want to see a bubble. Come on, blow a bubble. Come on. Come on. That's weak. Come on. Chew it. Come on. It's not old enough? Gum's not old enough? Okay, keep chewing. Keep chewing. So the issue is, when we come, just keep chewing, okay? The issue is we come to be like Jesus. Humility, listen to me. They're chewing. Keep chewing. Don't blow a bubble until I tell you to. Keep chewing. You take all of the verses and the principles that we've looked at in God's Word, out of the principles of Proverbs, humility has to be seen in all of them. It covers everything. And if you have a proud and arrogant nature, if that's what people see you as, they are not seeing Jesus. Jesus practiced that humbleness. Power under control. A power that is willfully placed and selflessly placed, seeing the needs of others. Why did Jesus talk to the woman at the well? Why did Jesus heal the leper? Why did Jesus touch the leper? Which would never be done because he took the form of a servant, seeing the needs of others. Is it getting old? Can you blow a bubble now? Come on. If I said there was a $1,000 gift certificate to blow the biggest bubble, you guys are... I should have started at the beginning of the service, huh? Is it because there's too much bubble? I mean, too much gum in there? I would take some out, but I'm not going to do that. You're going to do that. All right. Come on, Ramon.
We're getting there.
Okay, come on. Chew that. Chew. Oh, I see it coming, Arthur. Come on. The goal. Keep. Oh, I broke. Okay. All right. What's my point? These guys didn't do it very well. They failed at it. The point is this. Proverbs says, just like that bubble gum we put in our mouth, we chew. It says that pride puffeth up. We blow that bubble, but ultimately, no matter how big or how small, what happens to that bubble? I was hoping Ramon would get a real big one and pop that sucker and have it all over his goatee. Because it gets sticky. But the end of the bubble is destruction. The Bible says you want to get ahead, it's not by self-promoting, it's not by blowing your big old bubble up. It's not proud in spiritual issues, it's not being proud in financial issues, it's not being proud in any way, shape, or form. It is about being a servant. Making that form. Taking that form willfully. Not anemic, not self-deprecating, knowing who you are in Christ. And when we know who we are in Christ, it is easy to become the slave and the servant of another. It really is. Why? Because he became the slave and the servant for me. That's what we celebrate in communion.